Hey, you guys, welcome back. This is Andrea, and I'm your host with From Mrs. to Ms. So this was a two-parter episode, and last week we met with the incredible Evan Mark Katz. We had some great conversations. He talked a lot about some really cool stuff, things that we just don't normally think about with relationships. He was the first relationship coach back in 2003, so he definitely knows what he's talking about. Now, I left the last episode asking him a very juicy question about faking an orgasm. So I was kind of leading into it with, if you're with a man that is, or a woman that is kind of just laying there, there's not really a lot to it, or they're trying super hard, but you just aren't getting off, do you fake the orgasm? Because with that, you are setting him up for failure with his next potential relationship, because you're probably not staying with him if he didn't get you off. Let's be real about that. So I was just about to have Evan answer that question, and I cut him off because I wanted to save it for this week. So welcome back, Evan Mark Katz, and here we go with the episode.
I think it's probably like any other. I thought you were going to ask a different question than you did. So I'll go with, you asked a fake orgasm question. That's
the, and then I want to hear your question that you thought it was.
I dated someone I was crazy in love with who was your proverbial starfish in bed.
Okay.
But she was like my favorite person. I just adored her. But
that sucked.
Didn't bring much in the bedroom. Again, it never sounds good to criticize someone, but didn't bring much in the bedroom.
Yeah.
And she ended up breaking up with me, so it wasn't a problem.
Okay. But
it could have been in the long run.
Yeah, like absolutely.
I never got to find out whether that was going to be a long-term problem, but I suspect it might have been.
Was part of you like, wait a second, she's breaking up with me and she was the one that was sucking.
Well, she broke up with me for other reasons.
Okay.
I mean, it's another story for another day. But
sure.
But as much as I'm talking about seven chemistry, where everybody's like, he's telling me to settle.
Yeah.
You need to have, and everybody says this, every study says this, conservative Christians say this, you need to have a satisfying sex life to have a good marriage, right?
Yes.
So there's nothing controversial about that. If you're not satisfied with your sex life, there's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
If this is the only place you can get sex, you can get other needs met in other places. You have to have a decent enough sex life that you're both basically satisfied.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
And because of that fact, faking it, While it gives him short-term gratification of making him feel good about his performance, right, which is nice.
People pleaser, though.
it doesn't ultimately do anything. It's like telling your kid they're a great singer and then they try out for American Idol and they're embarrassed themselves because no one ever bothered to tell them.
Right. So right.
Going back to that same thing with the kissing, if he wants to please you, and he says, "How was it for you?"
Yeah.
Right. In that moment, maybe you say it was really lovely.
Okay.
And then maybe afterwards, right? Not in the moment. In the moment, he might not be able to handle this, but maybe afterwards, hey, the other night you asked me how it was and I wasn't fully upfront with you.
Okay.
And I want to know, do I have permission to give feedback? Because this is something that's really sensitive and I adore you and I love you and I don't want to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
But I know you care. I know you're my boyfriend. I know you want to please me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want to be candid with you about how we could have even a better love life and we could have even a more intense connection.
I like it.
Right. So you ease him into it. Do I have permission to share this feedback with you? And he's going to say, yes, of course.
Yeah.
Right.
He wants to be better.
And then you have to figure out a way, the way it's any business thing. It's the compliment sandwich. I love how you look at me. I love how you do this. He can't help his equipment, so don't criticize him. Can't help that. But if you have a specific criticism, right?
Yeah.
Instead of, nope, just didn't do it for me. That's useless. That's just going to make him feel like crap and give him a complex. But if you have something specific, I really like it when you go down on me. And when I make noise, it's to let you know it's working and you weren't picking up those cues.
Yeah.
And would it be helpful if I pointed, would it help me if I told you, if I tapped you on the head?
Moved your head,
I just want to make sure when you're pleasing me, I let you know to keep on going. And if you can't figure out how to please me, I'm glad to be more vocal because I know I'll be happier. You'll probably be happier if you're really pleasing me. And now we're in a real dialogue where you're not attacking him and saying, you suck in bed, boyfriend with the micro dick. Like, Right.
He's so holding up his pinky finger, people.
Right. So if there's something that he could do,
yeah,
then that's constructive.
Yes.
Constructive, designed to help. Destructive is, you know,
saying
I felt
it in the moment.
I felt nothing.
Yeah.
Is it in? Right. That's it. Like, that doesn't help anybody do anything. It just deflates him. So,
yeah.
So if you're being sensitive to him, help you.
Yeah.
And I think it could be mutually rewarding.
Yes. I love that because I love to not bring it in right in the moment and take away from everything going on, but address it later. I think that's right.
And this is the thing about, we talk about, you know, a guy as a dating coach. I don't have, I didn't have a ready-made answer for that question.
Yeah.
But I put myself in the shoes of the guy who'd be criticized. How would I be able to receive this criticism without getting angry and leaving the room or walking away with my tail between my legs?
Yeah.
How could I receive that? So I always put myself in the shoes of the boyfriend in question and say, would this work on me?
Yeah.
And that's mostly my coaching philosophy. Would this work on me?
Yeah. And I think it's great because it's creating communication between the two of you as well. And, you know, allowing you, it probably strengthens you a little bit, I would think, and allows you guys to kind of grow and feel more comfortable to talk about sex as a whole. You know, people are always afraid to talk about it. And I think it's good that you do. So, yeah. Okay. I love it. Thank you. Okay. So why do you think that dating is more complicated now than ever before? And let's talk dating sites. I need to hear about these.
Yeah. I mean, without being doing something completely tone deaf as a man, may I ask how old you are?
I am 49.
Okay. So we're pretty much
very close. Yes.
So you grew up in the before times. You grew up before there was an internet. You grew up before there were cell phones. You grew up before there was social media.
I did. I got married at 24.
Right. And so all of that informs my opinions about this, not because I'm just, you know, old man who shakes fist at sky, but because I do remember a world where there was something that resembled genuine courtship and people tended to like it. In fact, I did a TED talk about it back close to 10 years ago. You Google Evan Mark Katz and No More Bad Dates.
Okay.
And I did an 18 minute thing on this. I'm not doing 18 minutes on it right now,
but
basically in the olden days, you would meet someone at a party or a bar. Let's say it was me and you and we would be in the same room and someone would introduce us, or we'd be standing by the punch bowl and I'd be like, hey, have you had a drink? Or, you know, what is this cool 80s mix? Or how do you know the host? It would be some pretext for us to talk.
Yeah.
And we'd talk and make a little banter. And if it was good and we were both having fun, I'd say, hey, you want to step outside and grab a drink or grab a smoke?
Yeah.
And then we'd step outside and we continue the conversation, right? So 15 minutes here and then go outside, talk for an hour. And then after an hour, if it's going really well and I look at my watch, I'm like, oh my God, I got to go.
Mm-hmm.
Can I get your number? Write it on a napkin.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get that number. And I'm getting that thing bronzed. This is my big accomplishment for the whole week.
Right.
Got a number at a party from a cute girl.
Yeah.
That's what dating was. Right? Remember that.
So simple though. It seems so simple.
Right. So my belief is people like that.
Yes.
And so how do we recreate that in the modern era?
Tell me.
And that's my entire coaching philosophy goes back to that idea. Mm-hmm. So why is it harder than ever? It's because we've taken all connection out of dating. We've taken all humanity out of dating and we've gamified dating. So think about the middle ground, right? The not the past 10 years, but the 10 years before that, when I was really prolific in dating, conventional online dating, match.com.
Mm-hmm.
What did you have? You had a dating profile.
Yes.
A lot of written words telling someone about you and about what you're looking for. Maybe OkCupid. There's a whole bunch of different questions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You'd respond to that long written profile. Mm-hmm. You'd write some emails through the dating site, right?
Okay.
About what was in the written profile.
Right.
You'd start a banter. This was the first 5 minutes of the cocktail party conversation.
Yeah.
If that cocktail party conversation was going well, right?
Yeah.
What I used to do when I was a single guy, I would leave match.com and then go to Gmail and continue the conversation outside the dating app. And that's me asking you, hey, you want to step outside for a drink?
Okay.
I'd leave match.com and I would go to Gmail and we just continue the conversation. And now you're talking to 10 guys on Match and one guy on Gmail.
Right.
Right.
And it's fun. And this is not taking like months. This is just like a couple days.
Yeah. Right?
You know, back and forth on Gmail. And then finally I'm like, hey, can I get your number? Same as in real life, but I earned your number.
Yeah. Right?
I put in time to get the number like I did at the party because I had a couple days on Match and a couple days on Gmail. So now when I ask for your number, it feels more organic and you're more comfortable. And now we talk on the phone and we talk on the phone for an hour. At the end of that hour long conversation, I say, hey, you want to go out to drinks on Friday night? And it feels good because I've talked to you multiple times through multiple channels over the course of this 1 week. And there's an escalation process and it's moving fast.
Right.
I just tell people to do that now, even when no one else does it. So old school dating sites, that's the way I did it. And I had great success dating that way for many, many years before I met my wife. But what did they do? They created dating apps and smartphones. And dating apps said, you know what? Match.com is just too deep. It's already shallow, but it's too deep. So let's remove any trace of depth from it. Let's remove the written profile. Let's remove the email component. So what do? On Bumble and Hinge and Tinder? We look at photos.
Pictures.
There's one or two lines. Right? We swipe. We're not talking. We're swiping. And then we go straight from swiping to texting.
Totally.
And texting is the death of communication. Because as everybody who texts knows, you can't have a real conversation by text. Right? One line, what's up? 2 hours later, not much. You. 2 days later, sorry, busy at work. Here's a picture of my breakfast. Right? It's a whole drawn out non-conversation, no stakes, no interaction, no body language, no information conveyed.
Yes.
And then we're wondering, why does dating suck so much?
Right.
And so this is where we're at as a society. I don't get to change that because I don't like it. I'm just observing. It used to be better. Online dating was better than Hinge, Bumble, Tinder. Everybody's doing this now. So how do we bring some of the old school philosophy to this newfangled technology? And so we need to write longer texts that are more informative, closer to emails to make a real connection. If you insist on using these apps, I would still rather put you on Match or OkCupid. But if you insist on using an app, write something that's a little more meaty. And it's hard to write something meaty. Why? Because there's no profile. There's nothing to say. You're cute. Tell me more about yourself. How's your day going? This is what happens when you remove information.
Okay.
I like more information. More information means better conversation. And instead of swiping, texting one or two times, and arranging a quick in-person meeting, because we're so busy, what happens when you go on those quick in-person meetings? You're going on a blind date with a total stranger who you don't even know if you like them, if you're attracted to them, whether a decent person. It is, for all intents and purposes, a blind date.
Yes.
And then you show up on the blind date and he sucks.
Yes.
And it wasted your time.
Yes.
And then you do it again.
But can you be too long? Can you, like, if you're texting and stuff for like a week goes by and you're giving all your information in there?
You were missing one important step.
Okay.
Okay. My old method was dating site, email, phone call.
Yes.
That was the old way. I called it 222. Okay. Couple emails here, couple emails here, couple phone calls, date. All in less than a week.
Okay.
If you're on an app, email doesn't make much sense. So longer texts that are like emails. And then your next point of contact is scheduling a FaceTime.
FaceTime. Okay.
Scheduling.
Yes.
Not, because otherwise you get stuck in texting hell. Texting is the worst.
Yeah.
So if you're making a connection, it's unique and you're having fun and he's worthy of your time. Hey, Brad, you've got your cell phone. I got my cell phone. Why don't you press the little green dial button and see what happens?
Yeah.
Or, gotta run. I'm around tomorrow night at 8:30 while I'm commuting. Let me know if I could expect to hear from you then. And you schedule, and that is your first date. It's the phone. And that first date by FaceTime replaces the blind coffee date. And if you talk to a guy on FaceTime for 20 minutes and you want to kill yourself, you don't have to meet him.
And you saved a lot of time. So, I think it's super cute to do a little FaceTime date. You both have a glass of wine. You just chat on there,
So that's the whole point. Everybody's like, Evan, your method takes so long. No, It saves you time of going out on dates with total strangers who suck. Because that's what makes dating soul-sucking. Two things make dating soul-sucking now. Going on blind dates with strangers who are terrible and texting indefinitely where things go nowhere.
Yeah.
So my method is avoid texting as much as possible.
Yeah.
Right. And schedule the phone call in place of the coffee date. So when you finally do meet in person, after the hour-long FaceTime, you could feel comfortable giving him a Saturday night for 3 hours and having a proper date, which people feel like still it's progressing. Like.
I love a proper date.
Right.
I love it.
I'm trying to back into how do we get guys to give us proper dates? Because left to their own devices, you're right. They're going to do the least they can. And if I could swipe right, text you once and say, you're hot, come over with a bottle of wine, and you do, why do I have incentive to talk to you on the phone or take you out for drinks?
So true.
So women need to assert their boundaries and show men how to do better because they're not going to do it on their own.
Yeah. And what do you think about I think a lot are starting to do, if you do go into the date scenario, a coffee date, and then, or, you know, maybe they'll just be like, hey, let's just meet, you know, for coffee or breakfast or something. What do you think on that? Like, it should be a proper date, like a dinner, like nice. Yeah.
Right.
Completely. Make effort.
So if a guy's like, hey, I'm around tomorrow at 2:30 at Starbucks at 3rd and Main. God, that's really sweet of you, Brad.
So much effort.
I tend to work during the workday and I'm not a big coffee drinker, but I'm free on Friday night if you're available.
Okay.
So you redirect him. You don't make him feel like a cheap asshole, but you redirect him.
Yeah.
And see if he takes the bait.
Is that what they're doing? Are they being a cheap asshole? Because is that?
But it's a both and.
Yeah.
So we could assign all these negative connotations to men, but it's often not fair. If you're the woman, I'm writing about this next week in my Substack. If you have not put yourself in a man's shoes to know what it's like to pay for $100 date a week with a stranger, don't judge men. Like it is really awful to pay for someone you don't like.
Yeah.
Right.
I get that.
It's awful enough for a woman to go out with someone you're like. Imagine picking up the check at the end of a date you hated.
Yeah.
And spending money on that person you hated. Men do that all the time.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So I understand the impulse of why guys want to do the quick. Yeah. Is she cool? Is she attractive? Meet and greet.
Mm-hmm.
But it also doesn't convey much thought or personal investment. So if you make a bigger connection prior to the date, he's more likely to spring for a real date.
Mm-hmm.
But why would he spring for a real date for someone he swiped and texted once? Why would he spend $100 on a swipe? So that's why we do relationship building before the date.
Okay.
All the pre-date stuff creates better first dates.
Yeah.
And it avoids bad dates. Because if via email, phone, text, whatever, you discover he's stupid, he's lazy, he's incurious, he has anger issues, he's a perv. Well, guess what? All that time you put in to screen him saved you the trouble of meeting that guy in person.
True. So true. Hey, hey, you fabulous listeners. It's your host, Andrea, with From Mrs. to Ms., coming at you with something truly exciting. Are you guys ready to boost your energy, elevate your skincare routine, and wear the coolest workout gear around? Then listen up, because Savvy has got you covered. Okay, picture this. You're gearing up for an epic workout, right? You're feeling energized and you're ready to conquer the day. But before you hit the gym or the yoga mat, you need that extra little, you know, kick to get you going. Well, that's where Savvy's Boost Energy drinks come in. They are packed with all natural ingredients, and these drinks will have you feeling like a superhero in no time. I am loving the mango flavor. So let's talk about skincare. We all know how important it is to take care of our skin, especially when we're getting our sweat on. Savvy offers a range of skincare products designed to nourish and protect your skin so you can glow from the inside out. Now let's talk about the good stuff, my favorite stuff, the workout clothes. I'm telling you, I practically live in my Savvy leggings. Not only are they super soft and comfy, but they also give me the support I need during even the toughest workouts. Plus, with styles that rival big name brands like Lululemon, Aloe, and Vuori without the forever chemicals, you'll look and feel amazing every time you hit the gym or head out for a run. And here's the best part, you guys. Savvy is currently having a March Madness sale with a whopping 50% off all clothing. That's right. You heard me, 50% off. They have some amazing stuff. I love my Crane leggings. I wasn't sure I'd like them at first. They do have a stirrup on them, but I tried them on and I can't take them off because they're so soft and comfy. Probably the softest ones I've ever worn. But you got to act fast because the sale is not going to last forever and items are starting to move really quick. So what are you waiting for? You guys just click on my link, go to savvy.com/AndreaK. That's SAVVI.com/ANDREAK. Or use my referral code, Andrea K, to score some amazing deals on all your favorite Savvy products. Trust me, you won't regret it. Stay fabulous, stay fit, and stay savvy, my friends.
Okay, so this is something that I come across and I kind of get into debates about it back and forth with different people, is about the man paying for the date. Should a woman offer to pay on a first date, third date, at what point, or not at all, in your opinion? Just like your thoughts on that.
I really, I have a newsletter on Substack. It's called Lovesplaining. It's okay. My new passion project. I started it last fall. We've got about 2,200 subscribers.
Ooh, I like the name of it.
And it's free. If you go to evanmarkkatz.com/Substack. Next Substack. Friday, this podcast might come out before then, but okay. I think on the 1st of March, this thing will be coming out, and okay. It's a whole monster piece on who pays. To reduce it to a couple of bullet points,
okay.
If I had my way, and I don't, I am not, I remember, not God, not in control of the world.
Uh-huh.
If I were coaching men, I'd say, dummy, pick up the check every time.
Yeah.
Is what I would say. Not okay. Because it's fair,
yeah,
but because it works.
Okay.
And ultimately, good coaching is not about right and wrong. It's about effective and ineffective.
Yes.
Right? If women make a big effing deal about the fact that you split the check,
yeah,
just pick up the check.
Just, it's not worth it. Yeah. It works.
Right? So that's my advice to men.
Okay.
But if I were to advise women,
yeah,
I would say do the fake reach after... Yes. Let the check sit for a second. Do the fake reach. Hope that he says, oh, no, I got this.
Yes.
Nice when he does. Yeah. But if he doesn't, it's not a crime.
Yeah.
You're an adult woman.
Yeah.
You may make as much money as he does.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe you even initiated contact with him.
Sure.
And so we don't need to be so precious about our 20th century gender roles.
Yes.
And chivalry is from a time where women didn't have jobs or money.
Right. So
of course, men paid all the time.
Of course.
Now, 21st century, it's a very different story, but women still really love it when men pay. And I'm not going to single-handedly change that.
Yeah. Yeah. So
what men don't like in general is the assumption that we, because we have penises, are your ATMs.
Yes.
And that taking that for granted is not a good look.
Yeah.
So I like the fake reach.
Yeah.
I like being the guy who's like, no, I got this. Don't worry.
Yeah.
And if he lets you split the check, not the end of the world. Was the rest of the date fun? If so, there's another date. I remember my mom went out with a guy who let her split the check. And she's like, I've never seen this guy again. I was like, how was the rest of the date? Oh, he was great. So
did she marry him?
Yeah. So, no, but that's the thing is we need to make allowances. There are guys who are didn't grow up with old school chivalry.
Yes.
There are guys who are easygoing beta guys who don't exactly know their role. They're not experienced. This guy's been married for years. Maybe things have changed. There's guys who are kind of California progressive and kind of like gender's just not even a thing anymore. And who cares about roles? And let's just go Dutch on everything. So there's a million variations on this.
Yes.
So again, if I'm giving advice to men, I think it's great when they pay. It saves a lot of trouble and confusion, but I wouldn't make it the hill that you die on.
Okay. Yeah. I have an episode, actually, one of my episodes, it's called, excuse me, Mr. Cheap Ass Motherfucker, because he did say to me, how much longer do I have to pay for you? Or we were at like a dive bar, getting a $6 beer. I don't know what happened there. And he said,
how many dates have you gone on?
That was, we were maybe 3 weeks in. So
yeah. I'm with him.
Yeah. Well,
so hold on.
Okay.
So I just talked about how I would handle the first date.
Yes.
Then the question was, at what point, right? Because I said, do the fake reach. Let's say he gets it. I got it. 3-4 dates in, I got this one.
Yes, again, I do agree with that.
As a token. So you said 3-4 weeks. I'm saying 3-4 dates.
Yes.
I got this one as a token of my appreciation. Mm-hmm. It's still nice when you do all these nice things for me. I love being courted. I love that you're an old school gentleman, but really let me have this one. Yeah. That goodwill goes a long way, and you won't get the guy who becomes the cheap ass motherfucker because you're not turning him into one.
Yeah.
I've been that guy.
Yes. And I do think he could have handled it differently. It was the way it was said, maybe. He was like, the courting period's over. But my point is,
I try to play both sides of the fence. I'm not like pro man, pro woman. I just try to be fair.
Yeah.
And this is a way that we could keep some of that chivalry alive.
Yes.
Without taking it for granted.
Yes. And an easy way to do it really is, if a woman, you know, doesn't necessarily feel like she should be paying, you can choose those things. Like if we go to dinners, you know, he pays, but if we go to a little lunch, we're running up to Chipotle, I'm always like, hey, I got this.
Oh, that's very generous of you to get the cheap thing. Well done.
I know. It satisfies the situation. He feels like I have now paid a little bit. You know, I am the reach for it girl. I do that because I would hate to have to pay for everything.
Remember earlier in our conversation that I said, if I could help men understand women.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
What a wonderful gift it would be to the world.
Yeah.
Not because I'm anybody special, but I've been on enough dates with women who told me how much I sucked. Uh-huh. So I basically know what women like. He calls. He makes plans on a Saturday night. He checks in with you during the week. He doesn't just disappear mm-hmm. for a week. He mm-hmm. confirms the day before the date. He tells you, he chooses a place that's close to your home so you don't have to drive for 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. He basically gives you the dress code for the night.
Yeah. Right? Love that.
He's a gentleman. He's polite to the waiter, to the maitre d'. He orders a glass of wine. It goes with the meal. He asks you questions about yourself. He listens to your answers.
Yeah. This is my date last night.
With questions. Again, so I'm just saying, I've listened to women, and this is what women tell me is a good date. And that includes picking up the check at the end of the night.
Yeah.
It includes knowing of another place you could go to, a bar to walk to afterwards. It includes walking you back to your car or driving to your front door. These are all things that women value.
Yeah.
They display thoughtfulness, generosity, chivalry, kindness, curiosity. So these are things that women want to have displayed to them.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And if men took that advice, they'd do very well with women.
Yeah.
So my question is, what are you as a woman doing to make sure a man has a good first date?
Well, we put in a lot of effort to look good for them. That has to account for something, right? Because we do take a lot of effort. We want to look nice. Right. So we do all
pre-date. Now we're on the date.
We're on the date.
So I just rattled off a dozen things a guy has to do.
Yes.
What are you doing to make sure he has a great night? Because it's all right now, everything's all about you.
Yes. Yes. Well, I think I'm actually very good about that because I'm very grateful for a lot of those things. And I make sure to say that. So I'm always like, thank you so much. That was very sweet of you to pay for that or to do that for me. I'm super grateful. I like to make sure I'm asking and reciprocating all the questions back to him, you know, that whatever he's asking, that it's, you know, kind of give and take in the conversations. What else would I do, Evan?
My point is it's an intentionally challenging question.
Yeah.
Because women have a whole checklist of things, including this thing about the check.
Yes.
Right. That he has to do all the things on the list.
Yes.
And it generally doesn't occur to most women that I coach that you're 50% of the equation on the date.
Right.
He's not just putting on a show for you. He's not your jester.
Right.
So if he's putting on a show, you need to applaud. And so you hinted at that, right? I make him feel accepted. I let him know he's doing a good job. What a lovely restaurant. What a funny story. Your shoes match your belt. Your eyes pick up your shirt. I love that story you told about your daughter. I think it's wonderful that you're a great dad. Touch him on the hand, touch him on the knee.
Yeah.
Give him all the validation that what he's doing is working. And that's literally all he's working for. If he's in his masculine, doing, trying to impress you in all the ways that women need to be impressed, you need to let him know it's working. Where most women's energy is, and again, I know this is a podcast as well as a visual medium, is kind of sitting back with their arms crossed.
Mm-hmm.
All right, what's wrong with this guy?
Yeah. That's not me.
Are you a loser? Are you a liar? Are you a player? Are you MAGA?
Yeah.
Were you vaccinated? Were you not vaccinated? Do you have money in your 401k? Are you estranged from your ex-wife? Are you serious about a relationship right now? All this stuff is going through her head.
Yes.
And that comes across on a date.
I bet it does.
We need to turn that all that noise off.
Yeah.
And make him feel good about all the little things he's doing for you. And now we have a really, really nice dynamic where he's trying really hard to impress you and you're letting him know it's well received.
Yes. Okay. I do that. I do know I do that very well. So that's really good. I feel good. I feel confident about the one thing I feel confident about with my dating so far is
Well, it's one of the ironies of being a male coach for women, going on podcasts that are mostly listened to women and then listening to complaints about men because men are listening. We could complain about men. We could all be right. We could agree all the ways that men suck, but it doesn't change anything.
Yeah.
The only thing that changes is what do I do? What's within my control? And that's where the personal responsibility comes in. And that's who my clients are. Women who want to take personal responsibility instead of men in my area all suck. All the men my age, every man on Bumble.
Yeah.
Like if literally every man is a loser, there's nothing you could do, I could do. Like, so we have to genuinely believe, as I do, 10% of guys are absolutely good potential husbands. Find one.
Just find one. Seems so easy. So easy. Okay. I'm moving on. This is such good stuff. I'm loving this. Okay. So, talk to me about good relationships. Why do you suggest women should exit any relationship that just feels like it's too much work? And when is it too soon to give up? Like, is it too soon sometimes?
I have a theory that you don't know when you've met the right guy, but you do know when you've met the wrong one.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So a lot of people take the opposite approach. Mm-hmm. You just know when you've met the one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's look back through your life. How many times have you just known you've met the one?
Just happened. I thought I did. It wasn't.
Okay. But they never were. Every guy that you've ever thought was the one, if you're single, you were wrong.
Yeah, totally.
So if you had that magical chemistry soulmate thing, I had it 3 or 4 times. None of them married me.
Yeah.
So I don't trust, oh my God, you just know at all.
Okay.
Because it doesn't have a great track record.
Yeah.
Occasionally there's someone who said, oh my God, I just know. And they're together for 40 years, but that's the exception to the rule. That's the broken clock who's right twice a day.
Yes.
So I look at it the other way around, right? Mm-hmm. I think you know when you've met the wrong person, and this is what we mean by accepting the wrong man, something feels off.
Yeah.
This guy's got anger issues. This guy's got commitment issues. This guy's got communication issues. This guy's got character issues. Mm-hmm. This guy's got consistency issues. And because he's lonely, you're lonely, he's tall, dark, handsome, and successful, you ignore those feelings over and over, day after week, month after month. I talk to women who've been married for 25 years. I say, when did you know there was a problem in your relationship? 3 months in. And they ignored it, and they got married, and they had kids, and then they had another kid. And the entire time, there was a feeling of anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel safe with this man. I don't feel understood by this man.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to ignore it because to say something would be too much trouble. To leave would be too much trouble.
How sad is that?
And this is how people waste their entire lives on the wrong men.
Yeah.
And so my belief is if something is wrong, right, and it's not fixable, get out.
Get out.
Right. That's, I use the CEO metaphor. You're the CEO men or the interns.
Yeah.
One of the things that CEOs know, hire slowly, fire quickly.
Mm.
Don't go on a dating site, swipe right, text once, have a great first date, call him your boyfriend, hop into bed. Don't do that.
Right.
Right. But maybe date a guy for a month before you sleep with him and take down your profile. Like maybe figure out if he's boyfriend material before you go all in on one guy.
Yes.
And then maybe date him for 2 years before you move in together and get engaged instead of doing it quicker because you're older.
Yeah. So take it slow. So
if we move slower, we're less likely to make big mistakes. And if we listen to our emotions don't lie.
Yeah.
And so what was your original question? Because I think I went off course.
No, you answered it. I was just asking, like, when is too soon to give up or, why do you suggest that women should exit a relationship if it's not working? So you answered it.
So there's one piece that I missed. I believe one of the reasons that I never had a long relationship before my wife is that I lived by this philosophy. I would never spend more than one extra day with someone that I didn't think I could marry. The second I realized I couldn't marry her, why would I keep dating her? I'm wasting her time and wasting my time. So other people would stay with someone for 3 years, but they know, the last 2 years were no good. For me, if I realized this is never going to work, out.
Why? Get out. Yep.
And all that time allowed me to be single and experiment and learn. My wife was in relationships for 13 out of 14 years. Mm-hmm. I was in relationships for 3 out of 14 years.
Big difference. Yeah.
She would spend 5 years with a guy, 3 years with a guy, year and a half with a guy. For me, 3 months, 6 months, 1 month. You're not going to be my wife.
Yeah. Which is interesting though, because we often will look at that as a bit of a red flag where we're like, oh, he hops from relationship to relationship. He's commitment phobias.
And that any of those things could easily have been labeled, thrown at me. He's the dating coach who's been online for 10 years. It'd be very easy to construct that narrative. But the truth is I've got many flaws, but this is not one of them. I valued myself enough.
Yeah.
I really wanted to be a husband. I wanted to be a father. Why would I spend my precious time in a relationship with someone who I knew I was never going to propose to? And if I did propose to her, I probably wouldn't be happy.
Yeah.
So I just really encourage other women to date that way.
Yeah.
Because every second with the wrong guy is a second you're not looking for the right one.
Yep. Oh, I like that. I like that.
And so you talked about how do you know when to work on a relationship? I think we've valorized work. Mm-hmm. We've put work up on a pedestal.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've done so to our detriment. Every shitty relationship you've ever had took a lot of work.
More work than the good ones, right?
Yeah. A lot of work. Yes. So once again, I go the opposite. Good relationships are fundamentally easy.
Yeah.
They are.
Yeah.
This conversation, easy.
Easy.
So why shouldn't you? Your best friend, easy.
Mm-hmm.
That's why she's your best friend.
Yeah.
Why would you wish for anything else in a relationship? Shouldn't it be easy?
It should.
So let's start there. That's our North Star. Good relationships are easy.
Yeah.
Now, easy doesn't mean you never disagree, you never argue, there's never friction. You're human beings who are merging lives. There's a million things that could go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But in my relationship with my wife, who's very different than I am, 95% of it is easy and 5% of it takes effort. Not work, effort.
Effort.
Mm-hmm. We have to work through these differences of opinion. You and I can talk about dating. We have differences of opinion. Doesn't mean we're at each other's throats.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of relationships take work,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to start with relationships should feel easy. And if it's not easy, why am I fighting so hard to keep it?
It's great revelation right there. And it's so smart to think about it that way. I like it.
Well, we're trying to work backwards from the best case scenario. The best case scenario is not landing the most impressive man of all your friends to be able to show him off when he's traveling 25 weeks a year and fucking his secretary.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't actually win.
Right, yeah,
your husband's better looking than the other guys.
Yeah.
You didn't win.
Yeah.
Right. So I think we have this orientation about how it looks to other people. And all that matters is how do I feel?
Mm-hmm.
When I wake up in the morning, do I know he's going to be there next to me? When I go to sleep at night, do I know that we're going to sleep in peace?
Yeah. And I'm sure a lot know they're not.
Right. And so I ask, why are you in that relationship?
Yeah. And that's what a lot of people just need to ask themselves.
It takes courage to end something that was once good, but all relationships were once good. Otherwise, they wouldn't even get started.
Mm-hmm.
Every divorced couple loved each other at some point in time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So just because something's once good doesn't mean it remains good. And so it's a garden you have to continue to water.
Yeah.
So love takes effort.
Mm-hmm.
If effort turns into work,
time to go.
I don't know.
I like it. Okay. So I'm going back to a question, or actually it was something you said about, not calling, texting, hopping into bed, all that good stuff, right? So that's leading to my question on your thoughts on having sex on a first date. Do you think it matters whether you have sex on the first date, third date, 3 months? And can it change the trajectory of the relationship? And do men often look for sex and end up finding love? That was a bunch of questions all in one.
I think people are complicated and often contradictory.
Mm-hmm.
I think men often try to get laid as quickly as possible and then don't really respect the people who allow them to. And so as such, I'm not worried about right and wrong. I'm not going to, you know, I'm sex positive. I'm not going to slut shame anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a very effective strategy to sleep with guys first and then keep your fingers crossed afterwards that you guys are relationship material. And that's usually what people do. They have sex first and they wait for him to text and they wait to see if his profile's down. And now you're sleeping with a guy for 3 months who's not your boyfriend. Guess what? He's not going to be your boyfriend. If he wanted to, he'd already be your boyfriend. Right. I don't know too many stories of a guy who's been sleeping with you, seeing you for 4 months, who's suddenly like, you're the love of my life.
Yeah.
Right. Yep. So my philosophy, again, I'm glad to share whatever whatever I've concluded after 20 years of doing this is don't sleep with any man who's not your boyfriend.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So the whole no sex before monogamy kind of thing.
I think we're just getting the order wrong.
Okay.
It's like choosing the paint for your house before you build the foundation. So yes, you can have sex quickly and then figure it out later, but that's like jumping into a pool and hoping there's water in it.
Yeah.
So I did it. Again, I'm not saying this from some sort of pedestal. I did all the things we're talking about. I arrived at these conclusions from having done it.
Because you did it.
And then all these years into doing this, this is true. The 2 years before I got married, I stopped having sex with anybody who wasn't.
Period.
No, not I'm a celibate.
Okay.
I'm not sleeping with anybody who's not my girlfriend.
Okay.
Because what would happen? Hop into bed someone on the third date.
Yeah.
Sleep with them and then spend the next 3 weeks trying to figure out how to get out of it.
Yes.
And
now
not a jerk.
There's feelings and the women.
I'm not a jerk. I didn't want to be that guy. I didn't want to break anybody's heart. I didn't want to be in that position.
Yeah.
The problem is sex usually connotes something that's more meaningful.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean it. It's more of a physical thing.
Yeah.
Especially for men. It doesn't have to have any feelings. So you dive into it. It feels really great. And then the next day you're like, shit.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure if I like her. I don't even know if I'm available. And again, I'm saying this as a conscientious guy who always wanted to be married.
Yeah.
So I said, I don't want to be that guy. So what would happen is, you know, you'd mess around and hook up a little bit. And I'd be like, yeah, I don't sleep with anybody. And she'd be like, what? I don't sleep with anybody if I'm not in a relationship with them.
Yeah.
You mean if I like tried to seduce you right now, you'd say no. And I'd be like, yeah, it's too messy.
Yeah.
You know what would happen? You do know what would happen.
Mm.
It made them want me twice as much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it basically showed that I had integrity.
Yeah.
And that's a really rare thing.
Right.
And I didn't use it as like a scheme.
Yeah.
But it really worked. And so for the 2 years before meeting my wife, I had one girlfriend in that time. I did not sleep with anybody. And I really tried to live the same thing that I'm telling you to live.
Yeah.
If a guy is a good guy, and if you're engaging in foreplay like you did in high school, you can have a really nice month together where you can really figure out whether he's boyfriend material first.
Yes.
Before you sleep with each other, call each other boyfriend, girlfriend. So we're going to take him through a few rounds of interviews. So you're going to have more information after 2 dates or 8 dates.
Yes. Now, does oral sex fall into foreplay or sex? Where does that go?
For me, I lived on third base. I'm a big appreciator. But this is my point. It's not that what I'm saying is like gospel.
Right.
Anybody can interpret this however they want and do with it what they want.
Sure.
You have to find your comfort zone.
Yeah.
But if you find yourself sleeping with men and discovering that over 50% of them don't want anything with you and you're heartbroken by it,
stop doing it and stick to your guns on it, right? Because that's the thing is if you're going to say it, you're going to say, I'm going to hold out and you got to stick to that because the moment
I never do this with anybody else.
Yeah.
Sure you don't.
Yeah.
I'm definitely the first person you never do this with.
Right.
So yes, it's not just a speech you give. It shows you value yourself. And I call it the sexclusivity speech. I teach it in Love You, right?
Yeah.
Right. It's back at his place. It's the third date. He's reaching for your belt buckle.
Yeah.
Or his wallet and the condom. Oh my God, Brad, I'm so attracted to you right now. I would love to sleep with you. I just don't sleep with guys who are still actively dating on Bumble. You could understand that, right? So if we have is real, sometime in the next few weeks, if what we have is real and it's still growing, you're in for the night of your life.
Yeah.
But until we both decide that a relationship is worth our while, let's get back to business and have a little bit of fun. And what does that show? It shows him that you're not rejecting him.
Mm-hmm.
You're not a prude. I would love to sleep with you.
Yeah.
So you're sex positive. You're attracted to him. So he can't feel rejected. Mm-hmm. You respect yourself. You have boundaries. You're not trying to trick him or coerce him into a relationship. You're not saying, take down your profile, be my boyfriend. You're like, I don't even know what we have. We've only gone out 3 times.
Yeah.
So you're basically setting this boundary. I'm attracted to you. I'm willing to see where this thing goes. And if this is real, we can have a relationship and give this thing a shot.
And
no guy could argue with that. And any guy who's like, but I kind of want to get laid. if that's his response, right.
Yeah.
So any guy who doesn't respond to that sex exclusivity speech is clearly just looking to get laid, and he's not serious about you. Because any guy who is serious about you is going to be willing to wait 3 more weeks.
Yes. Ooh, I like it. I'm going to commit that whole little phrase to memory, just so you know.
I think you need to sign up for Love You when we get off the phone.
I think I do. Andrea needs some help here. She gets some help, please. Okay, I got one more question for you. This is so good. I don't want to even stop. We've been going forever and I love it. Okay, so for the listeners, what should they do if they feel like they've tried everything? Nothing seems to be working. Do they keep holding out for hope? Do they just take a sabbatical? They take time off, you know, because sometimes you're just going through the motions, right? You're just dating to date and date and date and date. So take some time to themselves, right? Is that what you would suggest?
Yes. So,
or your course.
Excuse me. Thank you for this opportunity to talk with you, by the way. And absolutely. I hope over the past hour and a half, in throwing out all of my cockamamie ideas, something landed and made you scratch your head and be like, that's kind of interesting.
It did for me, for sure. So
I can consider that.
Yeah.
So consider in the past hour and a half, if I gave you a whole bunch of ideas,
mm-hmm.
right, that are just different than what you're doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's hundreds of other things you can do.
Yes.
So whenever someone says, I'm burnt out on dating, it's the definition of insanity. You're doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results.
Yeah.
And you could take a little hiatus mm-hmm. and take a month off mm-hmm. and work on self-care and hang out with your girlfriends and take a bubble bath. And
mm-hmm.
you could do all that. And then you're going to go right back to the dating apps and you're going to do the same fucking thing that you did before. So it's hard for all of us to change when we're doing the best we can.
Mm-hmm.
The whole reason that you turn to folks like me is because I've been watching this space for 20 years and I've talked to men and I've talked to women and I've shepherded people through this process. And if I gave you 5 pieces of advice today, my Love You course has 280 videos, a massive online curriculum that answers every single question you could possibly have. And it's not just cheap pop psychology about learn to love yourself and that kind of stuff. Love happens when you least expect it. And so just focus on yourself. No, it's if he does X, I do Y. If mm-hmm. I do Y, he's going to do Z. It's really gaming this whole thing out because most people's behavior is pretty predictable when you get right down to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Whew. This is so good. This is so good. I'm really loving all of this. Thank you for
very kind.
Coming on. Yeah. No, you've been great to talk to. Okay. I have a little game for you to play.
Hey, you fabulous listeners. It's your host, Andrea, with From Mrs. to Ms., coming at you with something truly exciting. Are you guys ready to boost your energy, elevate your skincare routine, and wear the coolest workout gear around? Then listen up, because Savvy has got you covered. Okay, picture this. You're gearing up for an epic workout, right? You're feeling energized and you're ready to conquer the day. But before you hit the gym or the yoga mat, you need that extra little, you know, kick to get you going. Well, that's where Savvy's Boost Energy drinks come in. They are packed with all natural ingredients, and these drinks will have you feeling like a superhero in no time. I am loving the mango flavor. So let's talk about skincare. We all know how important it is to take care of our skin, especially when we're getting our sweat on. Savvy offers a range of skincare products designed to nourish and protect your skin so you can glow from the inside out. Now let's talk about the good stuff, my favorite stuff, the workout clothes. I'm telling you, I practically live in my Savvy leggings. Not only are they super soft and comfy, but they also give me the support I need during even the toughest workouts. Plus, with styles that rival big name brands like Lululemon, Aloe, and Vuori, without the forever chemicals, you'll look and feel amazing every time you hit the gym or head out for a run. And here's the best part, you guys. Savvy is currently having a March Madness sale with a whopping 50% off all clothing. That's right. You heard me, 50% off. They have some amazing stuff. I love my crane leggings. I wasn't sure I'd like them at first. They do have a stirrup on them, but I tried them on and I can't take them off because they're so soft and comfy. Probably the softest ones I've ever worn. But you got to act fast because the sale is not going to last forever and items are starting to move really quick. So what are you waiting for? You guys just click on my link, go to savvy.com/AndreaK. That's SAVVI.com/ANDREAK. Or use my referral code, Andrea K, to score some amazing deals on all your favorite Savvy products. Trust me, you won't regret it. Stay fabulous, stay fit, and stay savvy, my friends.
You got, you good? Yeah, okay, it's just my little from Mrs. to Ms., this or that relationship thing.
I'll roll with it.
Go with it. Okay, so I'm going to give you two things, a this or that. There's going to be 10 questions. You just tell me whatever comes to mind first of what you like. This is a get-to-know Evan, sure. Okay?
I hope I don't do this wrong.
No, there's no wrong answer. It's okay. Your answer. Number one, a romantic dinner at home or an adventurous date night out?
Adventurous date night out.
Ooh, what would you do for an adventurous date night out? Do you have something?
Now I have to come up with an adventure. I used to be actually, it's different when you're married with kids and the kids kind of own your time and things like that. But when I was single, I tended to be really good at planning dates because I, kind of culturally literate. Back in the day, I would read LA Weekly and find out the new restaurant in town, or the new art gallery, or like, I was always trying to find stuff that I liked doing. Yeah. And I figured if I liked doing it, other people would like doing it too. So I don't have one in my back pocket.
No, that's okay. That's a good answer.
My wife and I are both doers.
Okay. Yeah. And activities are always a good idea, right? Something to have fun with. You're not just having to sit there staring at each other.
But activities that allow you to have conversation. Movies are terrible dates. Concerts are terrible dates. Comedy clubs, terrible dates. Anything where you are watching something and you're not the main event.
Yep.
Right. I'd sooner go to a Color Me Mine and drink and make pottery. Because at least you're doing something
or like axe throwing or something.
You got to be able to talk on your date.
Okay. That's good. Okay. Number two, bubble bath for two or shower escapades?
Shower escapades.
Yeah. Okay. A one night stand with someone you've crushed on or a relationship with someone you're just feeling okay about.
One night stands. Not even a hesitation on that one.
Nobody has hesitated on that for that question so far. Not one person. Everybody's down for the one night stand. Future plans or present moment?
The answer, unfortunately, is probably future plans. Mm-hmm. But I vow to be a better in the present moment person.
Yeah, put the phone away and focus. Right. Deep conversations or lighthearted banter?
Man. This is where you get to see the inner dork.
I like a good banter.
Do you know the book, The World According to Garp?
Uh-huh.
My favorite book, John Irving.
Oh, okay.
1978 or so.
Yeah.
And in that book, he did a bit on why you can't be funny and serious at the same time. Why does it have to be either or?
Either
why
or.
Can't you be funny and serious?
Okay.
And so that's the hard part. I'm a comedy writer. Whose favorite thing to do is deep conversation.
Okay.
So I guess deep conversations, but that's like a 50-50.
Yeah, there's something about some sexy banter back and forth
you, but I really live for kind of what we're doing right now.
Yeah, just really getting deep in it. I like it too. Okay, trying new positions or mastering the classics? This is a get to know you.
I'm a mastering the classics guy.
Oh, okay.
It's not that sexy, but my wife and I are very happy with our vanilla with hot fudge.
Oh, I like it. And that's what matters. As long as it's good for her, it's good and good. We're for good. You. You're good. Okay. So then this one goes with it. Slow and sensual or hot and wild?
Hot and wild.
Yeah. I like that. I do like slow and sensual once in a while. I'm a kiss with your eyes open kind of girl.
I'm with it. I
get a lot of flack on that. Guy in Bachelor got a lot of flack for that, but I like it. All right. Number 8, texting throughout the day or saving it all for face-to-face conversations?
Saving it all for face-to-face conversations. I'm really, really down on texting as a form of communication.
Yeah. Tone is hard with it too. Slow dancing in the living room or spontaneous dance moves in the kitchen?
Spontaneous dance move in the kitchen.
Hot, hot, hot. Okay. Last one, whispered sweet nothings or bold declarations of desire?
Whispered sweet nothings.
Oh, I think you're the first one to say that. I like that. It's so cute and intimate, right?
It's also honestly more realistic. If you've been married for 15 years and you're doing bold declarations like you're in a teenage romantic comedy with a boombox.
Yes, that's what I was saying.
You know, I'm a words of affirmation guy. I could write you a Valentine's Day card that makes you cry, but for the most part, it's the day to day things that really pay off more than anything. And by the way, beware of the guy who's the big bold proclamation, because anybody could do that. Anybody could buy you the tennis bracelet. Anybody could whisk you off on a nice vacation. How is he treating you in between those things?
That's a good point. That's a really good point. So your words of affirmation guy, that's your love language?
It is.
Oh, nice. Nice. I think it's important for people to know that. Mine is physical touch, and I dated a guy that was his least, and it made it very difficult. And I didn't understand, you know, I felt rejection and constant disappointment because I would walk past him and I'm like, he's not like touching my ass or something, you know? And then I had to really, once I read about it and came to terms with it, I'm like, he just doesn't think about it.
Yeah.
Because it's not important. So I think it's important to know that stuff. Oh my God, Evan, this was so amazing. Thank you so much for joining me today. This was great. Tell people where they can find you, please.
Sure. It's my pleasure. My name is Evan Mark Katz. I'm a dating coach for smart, successful women who have everything but the guy. I am everywhere on the internet, I think. I have a Love You podcast. I'm on YouTube. I'm on Instagram at realevanmarkkatz.com. TikTok, amazing. Facebook, the whole thing. If you go to my website, I have a gift for you that I made specifically for your readers. If you go to evanmarkkatz.com/Andrea,
A-N-D-R-E-A,
I will give all of your readers the 7 massive mistakes you're making in dating. Some of the kind of stuff we talked about today, things that you might be doing wrong that you don't exactly know you're doing wrong.
Yeah.
Because you haven't considered it from a guy's perspective. And so it's a 25-page PDF, and hopefully it's got a few good ideas, and I'll send you free dating advice in your inbox until you find the relationship you deserve. And if you are really serious about love and you listen to this conversation and you're like, I need someone like me holding my hand through this process, my Love You course, you can go to evanmarkkatz.com/apply. Put your name in and watch a video and fill out an application, and we'll talk on the phone for an hour and we'll deal with that later. But enough about me.
Awesome.
You're wonderful. You're such a great conversationalist. I'm so grateful be here. I really enjoyed this probably even more than you did.
Oh, I love it. I enjoyed it a lot. I got a lot to learn myself. See, I just brought you on so you could coach me all the whole time, you know. And I hope you're coining those phrases. What are the ones you used? Guy something. You said Gaius or...
Gaietis
and your sexuality.
My sister made up Gaietis.
I like it. Coin it.
She's good. Like, I always give credit. I don't take credit for things I haven't done. But yes, I've got obviously a lot of ideas and metaphors and catchphrases that I've built up over 20 years of doing this. And I think they take somewhat complex ideas and make them a little bit simpler to process.
In a different
so
way.
If you're confused about a first date, okay, comfort, fun, attraction.
Yeah.
Right. Long-term relationship. Am I not feeling safe? Am I not feeling heard? Am I not feeling understood? If I don't feel safe, heard, and understood, what am I still doing here?
I love it. It's awesome. Thank you so much. Once again, I'm going to have all of your information listed in the description box when the episode comes out. And so you guys can follow him and go get that PDF he's talking about. It's free. It's a wonderful gift for them to learn everything they need to know. So that's awesome. You can find me on info@frommrs2ms.net if you want to email me. And my website is the same. And you can find me on Instagram, TikTok. There's videos now on YouTube. So go check those out. Thank you once again, Evan. I love it. And we'll talk to everybody later. Bye.